Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
The Apostle Paul, as you know, is in his final prison cell. Tradition places him in the Mamertine dungeon in Rome, a cold, damp hole in the floor with only an opening in the ceiling through which a prisoner may be lowered. Paul has already had his first hearing, his preliminary hearing, according to verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, and it has apparently not gone well. So he now awaits his final trial before Nero and his expected execution. Apparently, the Lord has revealed to Paul that he will not live much longer. And so he is penning his last epistle, at least the last one to be placed by the Holy Spirit into the sacred scriptures, and in it he encourages Timothy to stand tall and be courageous when the venerable Apostle Paul is gone. But now Paul, the aged warrior, has some personal requests. He desires, as we've already seen, that Timothy come to him, leaving Ephesus, and that he pick up a few things along the way, the primary one being John Mark, to serve as a profitable assistant, and the personal items that Paul left with Carpus at Troas. These things he needs if he's going to be able to pass his few remaining weeks profitably. Also, it is important that Timothy come as quickly as possible, for if he does not come before winter, it will no doubt be too late. And so we read in 2 Timothy 4:13, "Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments." We'll examine this text more closely in just a minute. Thank you for joining with me on this Beacon Broadcast on Wednesday, September 21st, and many, many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us on the air. Well, let's look at the text. We notice in verse 13 a significant location, namely Troas. "Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come." Troas, if you recall, was the location of the Macedonian vision recorded in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 11. That's where Paul received that vision from heaven, a man he saw from Macedonia beckoning with his hand and saying, "Come over and help us." And that's when Paul and his missionary team knew that it was God's will for them to leave the continent of Asia, to cross the Aegean Sea into Europe, into Macedonia, northern Greece, and that's where Paul preached the gospel in Philippi, in Thessalonica, and Berea, before he moved down to the southern part of that peninsula and preached the gospel in Athens and in Corinth. Furthermore, Troas was the location of a stopover on Paul's return from his third missionary journey on his way back to Jerusalem, as recorded in Acts chapter 20, verses 6 through 12, and apparently was the location of another stopover on Paul's last journey to Rome before his second imprisonment and ultimate execution. "Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. So one significant location, namely the city of Troas, but we also learn something about two valuable assistants, one by the name of Timothy and the other by the name of Carpus. Timothy, of course, is not named in verse 13, but that's whom this whole epistle is addressed to. That's who, I should say, this whole epistle is addressed to, and who Paul has in mind when he says, "Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas." Who should bring the cloak? Timothy should bring the cloak. He takes us back to verse 9. "Be diligent to come to me quickly." Again, who should be diligent to come to him quickly? Timothy. That's who he's writing this epistle to. And so, bring the cloak, Timothy. Timothy, the faithful assistant that we know a great deal about. The scriptures record an immense amount of information about this man, Timothy, and about his faithful and valuable partnership with Paul in the work of the gospel, first serving as something of an assistant, and then eventually serving as a true partner, one that Paul could send in his own place to locations like Ephesus to carry on the work of the gospel there. So Timothy is one faithful assistant to whom Paul gives these directions. Timothy, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus. Carpus. And there's another name. Now, of Carpus, we really don't know a great deal, except we know that he was also some kind of a helper to the work of the gospel and a friend and helper to the Apostle Paul, because Paul apparently left some possessions in the safekeeping of Carpus. And that's why he says to Timothy, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. So Carpus had been entrusted with Paul's cloak and with some of his books and especially some of his valuable parchments. And we'll talk more about those in just a moment. But Carpus was a valuable participant in the work of the gospel by doing what? By storing some goods for the venerable Apostle Paul. There have been times when missionaries have been in our church and said, is there anyone who has some space where I could store thus and so? And that's a highly valuable help to the work of the gospel, a highly valuable service to missionaries as they travel from place to place and often do not have a permanent home in the United States and often do not have a permanent home on their field of service, though sometimes they do. But it's not unusual for a missionary to have some items that he needs to store. We have a missionary who's a member of our church, and we have a missionary house that is owned by our church, and he has stayed in it on a number of occasions, sometimes by himself, sometimes with his family with him, to the extent that he pretty much considered that his house, and we wanted him to think of it that way, his home away from home when he was home in the States, or when I should say he was in the States. I don't know if we could accurately call that home in the States, but when he was in the States and needed a place to call home, we were so thankful to be able to provide a suitable house for him. And then a time came when another missionary family, members of our church, came off the field and needed a place to stay, and so the missionary house was available, and we put them in the missionary house. And then the first missionary returned for a period of time, and we had no place to put him. We actually rented a place for him. We had been accustomed to providing him with housing, and so at our expense, and so we wanted to continue that custom, and we rented a place for him at our expense, but he had to scramble to get some things out of the attic. Now, I didn't know about that, but he had been storing things up in the attic. I really wasn't aware of it. It wouldn't make any difference. I didn't mind, and the fact that I didn't know doesn't mean that nobody knew. I'm sure there were some others who knew, but for some reason, I had not been made aware of the fact that he was storing goods in the attic, which were helpful to him when he came home. For example, in the country where he serves, there's no need of winter clothing. But when he's in the United States, he sometimes needed winter clothing. So he could store those winter clothes up in the attic, and he stored other things up in the attic. And then, bingo, another family's coming to stay. And the house is not going to be empty until he returns. And he's got things in the attic, and he scrambled to get them out. Now, if he had asked us about it, we probably would have said, just leave them there, that's fine. But he didn't ask, he just presumed that he had to get them out, and he did take them out. And then later, he rented a storage building and put them in there. And again, we didn't know about that until it was already done. This is the kind of missionary who just doesn't want to be a trouble to anyone. And then he went back to Africa, and for a while we kept up the rental fee, the monthly fee on his storage unit. And finally one of our deacons said, how much has he got in there anyway? And I said, I don't know. I haven't seen it, but we do have a key. Why don't you go take inventory? And he did. He went and looked at it, and he came back and said, I think we can store all that right here in a storage area in our church. If you don't mind, I'll just get some men, and we'll take a truck over, and we'll load those things, and we'll bring them back, and we'll store them at the church, and we can save the monthly rental fee of whatever it was, I'm going to say around $75, which would be a savings of about $900 a year or so. And that's what we did. And so we've got boxes of things stored. Now, why do I take time to extend all that? Well, these are things that we generally take for granted. I don't know about your house, but I've got an attic, and there's a lot of things stored in my attic. I've got a basement. There's a lot of things stored in my basement. I've got a number of closets, and all my closets are full. It's amazing how we tend to fill up whatever space we've got. We move into a new house, and we say, now, I'm going to keep this one uncluttered. I'm not going to let it get full in every nook and cranny like I did the last one, and that's a good intention, but it seldom works out that way, because usually after the passing of 2 or 3, 4, 5 years, pretty soon, all the closets, all the storage spaces get filled up again, because we need storage, and we take that for granted. But where do you store things if you don't have a house that you can call your own? Where do you store things if you are moving from place to place in the work of the gospel, like Paul was? Well, I'll tell you where he stored some of his things. He stored some of his things in Troas with a man named Carpus. And we wouldn't have known that if he hadn't written 2 Timothy 4:13, Timothy, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, but especially the parchments. And so here is another valuable assistant to the Apostle Paul and to the work of the gospel. What made him so valuable? He stored some of Paul's things, thank you, and that was valuable assistance. There are a lot of things that we can do for the Lord. A lot of things that we can do for the work of the gospel that we don't realize how important they are and how valuable they are. But there's something that every one of us can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. May we find it, and may we do it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.